Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're looking at issues that relate to Jesus Christ in reference to his humanity. In our last study, we looked at the virgin birth, offering 13 different proofs that the scriptures proclaim that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. In our study today, what I'd like to look at is the importance of this doctrine. And I'd like to offer you five reasons why the virgin birth is extremely important, a doctrine to be held to and believed. First of all, very simply, is we need to believe it because the scriptures proclaim that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 through 25, this is very clear. Verse 18 reads this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And so here it's before they had any sexual relations, and then the Holy Spirit was the one that produced the offspring. Also, this doctrine is a prediction that's found in the Old Testament. In verse 22 and 23 of Matthew 1, it reads this way. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here we have an Old Testament prediction of the virgin birth of Christ. So to reject this doctrine would actually be an attack on the authority of the Bible, the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And one of the things that I do find interesting, those scholars or those teachers that would reject the virgin birth also reject the supernatural activity of God as revealed within the scripture, and often do reject many other portions of the scripture, picking and choosing the parts that they want to believe. So to reject the virgin birth is to reject the authority of the scriptures. Because as one reads it, it's clear that the scriptures proclaim as well as predict that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. The second aspect, which relates to the importance of the virgin birth of Christ, which is probably the most important one, is it guaranteed the sinlessness of Christ, without which his sacrifice on the cross would have been worthless. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 reads, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In relationship to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he was able to be born without sin by bypassing the sin nature that would have been passed on through a natural birth. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 21 clearly shows that all people that are born in a relationship with Adam also inherit the sin nature, condemnation, and death. Verse 12 and following reads this way, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So here Paul claims that all those that are related to Adam have also sinned and are found guilty. So if Jesus Christ was born naturally of a relationship between Mary and Joseph, his sacrifice on the cross would have been unacceptable, and no one would have ever been able to be right in the sight of God. And this is why Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35 is important, which reads, And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And so here in verse 35, the reference is to that Holy One who is to be born. That means that Jesus Christ, as he was born in a state of holiness. And he lived his life without sin, ultimately going to the cross, dying in our place, so that God would accept his sacrifice. God's wrath and anger towards sin would be appeased on behalf of those that would put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And the fact that Jesus Christ didn't have a human father broke this line from Adam. He was born supernaturally by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, and the result was that a holy being was created through this miracle. And this all relates to the topic of justification, of God's satisfaction with the death of Jesus Christ. Because if there was one sin in Christ, then his sacrifice on the cross would not have been accepted by the Father. Because Romans 3:25 clearly teaches that God's anger and wrath toward sin has been appeased through the death of Christ, which reads this way, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. And the focus is on the term propitiation, which also carries the meaning or idea of to bring satisfaction. What it says is through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's wrath or anger was satisfied at that point through his sacrifice and through his sacrifice alone. So it was imperative that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin to break the line from Adam so that he could be holy and then ultimately die on the cross. The third importance of the virgin birth is that this is the way that God and man were able to be brought together. The Bible clearly teaches from John chapter 1 that God took on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and dwelt among us. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus, because he was both God and man, is the only mediator between God and man. And for me, God becoming man is very logical in that God wanted to bridge the gap between himself and the people that he created and the gap that sin had produced. And the only way for that to take place is somehow for a mediator to be raised up to be able to communicate the truth of God so that someone could represent God to the people and then also someone could represent the people back to God. And in Job's struggle, as he was suffering and in torment, that's what he cried out for. He says, "I need a mediator that I could plead my case." And Jesus Christ was the only mediator. And as we look at the death of Jesus Christ, as a man, he died in our place to represent us, to die in our place and to carry our sin, to bear our sin. But also as God, he was able to represent God himself. So he becomes the perfect bridge to bring man and God back together. And apart from the virgin birth, that would not be possible because anyone that was born through the line of Adam would have inherited the sin nature and the condemnation that comes with that. And I believe that it would be impossible to have God becoming a man apart from the virgin birth. Carl Henry, a conservative scholar, writes this on this point. "It may be admitted, of course, that the virgin birth is not flatly identical with the incarnation, just as the empty tomb is not flatly identical with the resurrection. The one might be affirmed without the other. Yet the connection is so close, and indeed indispensable, that were the virgin birth or the empty tomb denied, it is likely that either the incarnation or the resurrection would be called into question, or they would be affirmed in a form very different from that which they have in Scripture and historic teaching. The virgin birth might well be described as an essential historical indication of the incarnation." I believe he makes a good point in here. How else could God become a man apart from the incarnation and the virgin birth? The fourth point in relationship to the importance of the virgin birth is that it proves that salvation must ultimately come from God. And I believe that this aspect is seen way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, at the seed of the woman who is ultimately the Messiah. He would be the one that would come and crush the head of the devil and his forces. Also in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, stressing the divine aspect of salvation, says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And as John 3:6 declares, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." I believe here it communicates to us our need for the work of the Holy Spirit in relationship to salvation, that we can't even start the process. We can't even be in on the very first step of the Savior being born because we'd contaminate it or ruin it. So salvation is a divine act as demonstrated in the virgin birth. The fifth aspect, which may not be a direct reference from Scripture, but I believe is a logical point, it shows that God is at work among men and is not a bystander, is that he's close to us. He's not like the deist mentality that God created everything and now letting everything just take its course, but he's involved in the process of salvation. He's involved in the relationship with man, and he's the one that is bringing about salvation. That he's a God that works miracles, is powerful, and is awesome, is mighty, but also is a personal God that is desiring to work among us and have a relationship with us. And I see this in the prophecy from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 7, verse 14, as quoted in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So God's going to be among us through this virgin birth. Again, God breaks in on the scene to interact with man, ultimately to bring about salvation, which is only possible through a Savior that would be without sin. I believe that the virgin birth is essential for all these things to be brought about. So as we've been looking at the person of Christ in relationship to his humanity, the virgin birth is extremely important as it relates to God bringing about salvation through his plan, through the one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ.